26. Matthew was walking, not wandering this time, but walking determinedly. Declan had told him he'd talk to Ronan and to stay put while he went out to take care of errands. He hadn't said the two things were connected, but Matthew guessed they were. He'd had to guess, because no matter what Matthew said, Declan still failed to have real conversations with him. He confided in Jordan if he confided in anyone, and just kept pointing out dogs to Matthew. This filled Matthew with bad feeling, and the bad feeling, on top of all his previous bad feeling, set him to walking. Not wandering. Walking. Like a human. Not a dream. He marched, hands stuffed in the pockets of his bright blue puffer jacket, head down. Watching his sneakers slap one in front of the other just made him walk faster and harder, dark pavement and sidewalk disappearing beneath him. Declan thought these big white sneakers were ridiculous. Matthew knew that now. He hadn't when he'd bought them, all excited about having put away enough money. "Aren't they super?" he'd said, and Declan had murmured, "They are the most memorable pair of shoes I've ever seen." And at the time, Matthew had thought that meant Declan loved them as much as he did. How stupid he'd been, he thought, his ears burning red. How stupid he'd always been about everything. Even the idea that Matthew had been excited about finally acquiring enough money to get the shoes was ridiculous. The money was from a weekly allowance that came from doing chores, a system started by Aurora back at the barns and continued by Declan even after they moved to the townhouse. Matthew had never questioned the correctness of this. Yes, of course he received an allowance for cleaning his room, vacuuming, unloading the dishwasher, spraying pine cleaner on the townhouse's front door to get the pollen off, cleaning the trash out of Declan's Volvo after school. God, he couldn't bear thinking about it. He just couldn't bear it. It had just been Declan's money. Just an older brother giving pocket money to a stupid little kid who stayed stupid even once he got big. All Matthew's friends at school got jobs bussing tables and working cash registers, and Matthew got bills in a mug on the kitchen counter. And now it was no different. He just collected the allowance from gallery owners who gave him odd jobs as a favor to Declan, because they thought Declan Lynch's kid brother was cute and his love of ugly sneakers was funny. Matthew kept walking, walking, stomping. He walked right out of their neighborhood, past restaurants bustling with diners and comely brick row houses bright in the evening, by a little convenience store that reminded him of the one Declan had sometimes stopped at back at home when he forgot to get milk during the week. He thought about the times they'd just sat there for several long minutes, with Declan staring off at nothing with the receipt for the milk pressed between his hand and the steering wheel. "Aren't we going home?" Matthew would ask. "Play your game," Declan would reply, and Matthew did. He just played whatever stupid game he had on his phone while his older brother sat there at a gas station 5 minutes from home for sometimes nearly an hour rather than going back to the townhouse, and Matthew had never once asked him why they were sitting there or what Declan was thinking about or if he hated everything about his life. And now this thing about sweet metals, this thing they were supposedly pursuing to keep Matthew safe while not talking to him about any of it? Everyone still acted like he was just a pet. Matthew's feet kept on marching him along, farther from home. Home, with quotation marks, because home, without quotation marks, was either the barns or the D.C. townhouse. Home was a Fenway apartment Matthew thought of as old man eyebrows because of how the detail work over the windows looked like fat frowning eyebrows. It had 7 rooms, which Matthew had mentally named. Twice, once after the 7 dwarves and once after the 7 vices. Happy Gluttony was the kitchen. Bashful Sloth, the living room. Grumpy Lust, Declan's bedroom. So on, so forth. Declan liked the apartment. Matthew could tell Declan liked it. He liked everything about his life here, even though Matthew wasn't exactly sure what his life here even entailed. He didn't talk to Matthew about it. Declan didn't say he was happier, but he clearly was happier. It made Matthew feel kind of bad inside.
Enormously bad inside.
He didn't know why.
His feet had taken him to a part of the city that seemed to be nearer to the water and farther from people and businesses. Beside him was a raised bit of highway that just ended in midair with weeds beneath it, ready for an action scene.
Declan would have been extremely displeased to find him here.
But when Matthew learned he was a dream, Declan had told him that he was just as much a Lynch brother as the other two, but Matthew knew now that wasn't true, because he wasn't being sent to school. He wasn't being prepared for a future. He was being tended and loved and managed. The thing about this life of Declan's, Matthew thought, the thing about it, was that Matthew was just a thing in it. A dream object. A puppy to be walked and then returned to home with some of the energy burned off. His eye was caught by an unoccupied crane, a spiffy one. It had one of those big boom things that looked like a ladder, and at the top of it was a hook. Matthew thought without hesitation, I'm going to climb that. He did. He clambered onto the body and then onto the boom, up and up and up. He thought how annoyed Declan would be.
Good, he thought. Good, good.
But I told you to stay in the house, Declan would say, confused. You're supposed to stay exactly where I put you, like a toy.
He kind of wished he'd never found out he was a dream.
At the top of the crane boom, Matthew closed his eyes.
He used to imagine that air was a hug that was always happening, but he couldn't seem to conjure up that happy thought right then. It had taken Matthew a long time to understand that he was a boat anchor in Declan's life.
Crumbs!
Opening his eyes, he realized there was a tiny person looking up at him, a tiny Jordan. Well, a regular-sized Jordan, far below. She shielded her eyes.
Yeah, I thought that was you.
You can't make me come down, Matthew told her.
I sure as shit cannot, she agreed. But it's harder to talk this way, you up there, me down here.
Don't talk to me like a kid. I can tell you're talking to me like a kid, and I don't like it. Jordan crossed her arms, a posture readable even from up on a crane.
All right, here you go then. Climbing up on a stick into the sky is a stupid way to process any kind of problem. But stupid's your right, so if you want to stay up there, just let me know how long it'll be so I can know if I have time to get a drink or if I should just hang here.
Why do I need to be watched at all?
Because you climbed a crane, mate.
Matthew considered this and then considered it some more and then with a sigh climbed down to where Jordan waited.
How did you know I was here?
You walked right by my studio. You didn't recognize it?
He hadn't, stupid.
What's the deal here? Jordan asked as they began to walk back the way he'd come. Are you giving Rebellion a go? Is this about your brothers lying to you? Because she just said it instead of mincing around it, Matthew told her. He told her everything. All the things that were bothering him, from big to small and back to big again.
That all sounds truly fucked up, and I'm sorry, Jordan said, opening the door to Fenway Studios. Together they walked down the hall toward the studio she stayed in.
The problem, as I see it, is that some of that shit's about being a dream, but some of it's just about growing up. And honestly, both are sorry situations if you ask me about it.
I did, Matthew said.
You did what, mate?
Ask you about it.
She laughed her enormous laugh as he smiled at her. She lightly high-fived him and then pushed open the door to let them into the studio.
Ah, yeah.
Whoa, Matthew said. This is good.
Since he'd been last, Jordan had accomplished huge amounts of work on her copies of El Jaleo and Madame X. Each canvas had a separate, smaller easel sitting in front of it, with reference photos and jotted palette notes and instructions and business cards taped all over them. But what he was looking at was the work she'd done on the portrait of Sherry and her daughter, the one he'd helped her with at the very beginning. It was still coming together, but their faces were very good, and the colors were as understated and lovely as the John White Alexander painting she had taped on the easel beside it. "Thanks," Jordan said. "They're way better than this other weird stuff." The rest of the studio was full of the ordinary studio occupants' work, colorful, elongated nudes with cucumber-shaped breasts.
"Not really," Jordan said. "I mean, Sargent's better than Sir Tits here is, obviously. That's why Sargent's famous, and this guy is just, you know, this guy. But these paintings of mine are copies. At least this guy is making original stuff. That's part of it, I think.
I don't know much about sweet metals, but I know I'll never make one painting Sargent's." Matthew moved Jordan's pillow to sit on the bright orange couch.
"So what do you think will do it?"
She perched on the arm.
"It's what that guy said, isn't it? Boat fellow, the one your brother took us to see. The art's got to do something to the artist. It's more about making it than what gets made. It changes them, I guess. If you're a bang-up artist who always paints great work, it doesn't mean anything when you make another great work. It's got to be something else. Not trauma, exactly. It's more like energy and movement. One makes the other. There's movement in their life, their technique somehow, that captures that lay energy. It's movement. I guess. I don't know, really. I'm talking out my ass, and if my voice sounds desperate to you, it's because of that. It's coming from my ass."
Matthew liked that she was talking to him like he was a real person.
"So you think making an an original will make a sweet metal for you? Because you always do copies?"
She pointed at him, snapping her fingers.
"Right, right. That's what I'm hoping. But I just won't know if it works until I need it, will I? I've been working on an original, that painting of your brother, but I can't tell sitting here if it's working. I can't feel any of the sweet metals the same way these past few days, actually, because of whatever Hennessy and Ronan are doing with the ley line. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed you've had fewer of the episodes?"
Matthew was so relieved to hear her say it, like it was just a normal, commonplace thing.
"I haven't been wandering. Right? When I first got here, I felt the sweet metals so strongly. I could feel El Jaleo doing something to me, I guess because I needed it. Now it feels like there's more energy to be had all around, so I just feel normal when I see it. I mean, I love it, yeah, sure, but I don't know if I'd be able to tell it was any different than any ordinary painting if I saw it for the first time today, so I can't feel if my painting is getting there or not."
"You could get another dream," Matthew suggested. "A sleeping one, from a dead dreamer. Back at the barns, there's loads of my dad still, probably."
"That's a really good idea."
She sounded like she really meant it, too. Because of this, he felt bold enough to ask, "Can I see it?"
"What? Oh, the painting? You know he hasn't seen it yet."
"Yeah.
You'd be the only person besides me to see it."
"Yeah."
"Okay, fine. But my ego is very fragile about it. So maybe don't tell me anything bad about it. Maybe don't say anything at all. Just grunt, and then I'll put it away real quick."
"Yeah." The high-ceiling studio had a little half-balcony. She retrieved a large canvas from it, and then, making a face, turned it around at the bottom of the stairs for him to see. Matthew looked at it a long time.
"Never mind. Say something. Silence is much worse," Jordan told him, and Matthew liked this, too, because it made him feel like she cared about what he thought.
Does Declan know what it looks like, even a little? He asked. When she shook her head, he looked at it a bit longer, and then he said, Are you going to marry my brother?
Crumbs, man, you go hard. I thought you'd say the foreground was too busy or that I'd gotten his nose wrong.
Matthew asked, Why does he treat you like you're real? Jordan looked at him for a long time, as long as he'd looked at the painting, and then she took away the portrait of Declan to the second floor again. When she came back down, she crouched in front of him and said, Because I am real.
How do you know?
Because I'm talking to you, mate. Because I have thoughts and feelings of my own. It doesn't matter how you got here. You are here. Matthew stared at his hands. What if Ronan made me this way? What if he made me how I am? So what if he did? She took his hand and jiggled it. Why do you think Declan's got his curls? Why do you think Ronan's an asshole? We all get handed things from our parents. We all have bodies that obey rules that we deal with. We're not as different as you think. Matthew could feel himself retreating from this last sentence as fast as he'd walked away from old man eyebrows.
Look, I'm not trying to tell you it's easy, Jordan said, to deal with this, with being a dream. I just mean, if you're thinking, this is the magic thing that explains why everything's weird and wrong and why it's so hard to figure where I fit, well, it doesn't solve things like that. We're not different in ways that matter. Your boy Declan just pretends it matters, so he doesn't have to think too hard about his mom and how he feels about that. And because he's afraid that if you're a real person, you'll grow up and leave him, and then he won't have a family, and he won't know who he is. There. There's your $2 therapy session. I don't know if it's for you or for him, but maybe you can split the cost.
You're pretty cool, Matthew said.
Oh, yeah, I am. She lightly high-fived him again.
So, what do you think of my painting?
Matthew pointed to a long orange breast on the closest canvas.
I think it's better than that one.
Jordan laughed gleefully. Hey, I see a smile on that face. You happier then? Matthew thought about it.
Yeah.
It was better than happiness, actually. For the first time since he'd found out he was a dream, he felt like himself again.